God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When someone dies, a question that sometimes people ask is, did he or she say anything at the end? You know, those last words. We usually want to know what the last words of people are, if there are words. We are hopeful that there will be an acknowledgement that they understood how much we love them, and we look for words of insight, a wise word, a word of truth. Typically, when someone is dying, the words that they speak are very honest words. They have nothing else to lose, so they might as well be truthful. In one essence, that's exactly what's occurring with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he was dying on the cross, he knew that his words were going to be extremely important. So he gave us the seven last words, or seven important statements, the seven sayings from the cross. And these statements, in one essence, are a last of a dying man, enabling us to see into the real heart of Jesus, why he came, why he's there, and words for us to live by. His final words from the cross will provide some very important theological principles and some very practical things for us to learn. We'll be picking up on these last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through our midweek Lenten series into Good Friday. And so we begin our evening messages on these last words of Christ with the one from Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To help us better understand what's going on here, let me set the stage. We remember that before Jesus was nailed to the cross, he experienced many terrible things. He was betrayed by his closest friends. He was flogged. This is usually done with a whip, designed to be very torturous. After the flogging, we are told that the soldiers mocked him and beat him. They dressed him up as a king with a crown of thorns on his head. And they beat him and they spit on him. They hurled insults at him. Basically, we need to understand that, yes, Jesus was physically and emotionally abused by his enemies. He was also humiliated. You may remember he had to carry his own cross. He couldn't even do that and had to have someone else carry it for him. He was being crucified along with two common criminals. If that wasn't enough, as the last part of our text for today notes, they even took the last thing that he owned, his own clothes, and the soldiers cast lots to see who would get them. Talk about the final insults. Jesus was humiliated. And so what is the response of someone who was beaten, physically and emotionally abused, now has nothing else in the world? Does he now lash out at the same world that drove him to that point? That might be your or my reaction. A reaction for vengeance, a reaction out of anger. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, after being betrayed, falsely convicted, beaten, spat upon, unjustly nailed to the cross, an agonizing death, his opening words to his own Father, his heavenly Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus asks his Father to forgive the very ones who are beating him, the very ones who are taking advantage of him, the very ones who are causing him pain, who humiliated him. Jesus has compassion for them. Jesus' words were not just spoken for the crowd who was watching him die, but they were also spoken for us here today. And we can pick up some very important lessons from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The people who had beaten Jesus, mocked him, nailed him to the cross, did not deserve forgiveness. They deserved the vengeance of God. What happened to the God of the Old Testament? You know, the God that you crossed him one little bit and zap, you were destroyed. What happened to God's anger and wrath and smiting? What happened to God's vengeance that we'd see in the Old Testament? God the Father's vengeance in all his anger now was being poured out on his own son so that his son could now make the statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Father's wrath is still there. Even though he doesn't like what's going on, even though he's filled with anger, but now no longer taking that anger and that punishment upon his creation, God now focuses all his anger and punishment upon his own Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus offers that forgiveness, that love, that kindness by saying, Father, forgive them. In the Lord's Prayer, we get to the fifth petition. We'll be saying that prayer in a little bit. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. These are Jesus' words given to us. Again, picking up the same concept, Father, forgive them. But we have to beg the question. As Christians, we know what the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior means to us. In that crucifixion, we have life, we have salvation, we have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus shows compassion on us. How well do we show compassion to other people who have sinned against us? Our first response may be saying, okay, Pastor, I'm not God. Well, that's true, you're not. Neither am I. But can we not learn the same lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us? Can we not have compassion, love, forgive even those who are coming against us? That's the challenge. Is that challenge easy? The answer is no. That challenge is next to impossible. Actually, it is impossible. And in our text for today, we find out how it is made possible for us. You see, it is impossible by ourselves. Notice where Jesus is pointing our direction to. Father, forgive them. Forgiveness comes from God. It's not something that's naturally within us. It comes from God. And for us to understand that forgiveness, we need to start at its beginning point. In one essence, by ourselves, we don't naturally forgive. But because we are connected to Christ, who has forgiven us our sins, now we are able to forgive. We learn this lesson as Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in order to forgive others, we truly have to receive God's forgiveness. In one essence, we probably may be saying, oh, Pastor, it's easy to be forgiven by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is. It is through his death and resurrection. Yes, it cost our Lord and Savior his life. Yes, he had to suffer for you to have forgiveness. But let me first ask this question. How easy is it for you to forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself? When you recall things in the past, mistakes that you have made, can you sit there and say, yes, I know I'm forgiven through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or do they still haunt you? Do they still gnaw at you? In order for us to understand forgiveness, we first need to remember it starts with God and it comes to us. You are forgiven through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I would venture to say, as Christians, we have a hard time with that forgiveness part. If you want proof of that, let me give you the concrete proof. As Lutherans, we believe in confession and absolution. That is a very important thing. We do it corporately at the beginning of our divine service. But we also have the opportunity for private confession. How come I can count on one hand how many times people have come to me in private confession? Because we have this fear. We have this fear of coming up to someone and saying, I have sinned. Even though it's maybe obvious to everyone else, but can those words come out of your mouth? Martin Luther has some words to help us with this. He says, I have said there are two kinds of sin. One kind is confessed, and this no one should leave unforgiven. The other kind is defended, and this no one can forgive, for it refuses either to be counted as sin or to accept forgiveness. I don't know if you caught the nuance of that, so let me explain it. Luther is basically saying for those who confess their sins, there should be complete and given absolution right then and there. And in case if you're wondering, what happens if someone does come to me and says, okay, Pastor, you know, I have sinned before God. You know what my reaction is? My reaction is, you are forgiven. Typically, I like to use the words of absolution of our divine service. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what I do not do. I do not do, and I do not go, you did what? I do not get on the phone and tell everyone in the whole world. Actually, I have an ordination vow that prohibits me from doing that. I don't sit there and say, you are a terrible person. In order for it to atone your sin, you must do this, 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 and this for the church. No. The first words out of my mouth is, you are forgiven. And Luther very clearly picks up on this. The one kind is confessed, and this no one should leave unforgiven. It is my job to sit there and say, with every confessed sin, you are forgiven. The other kind, Luther says, is defended. What he means is when we get into denial, when we get defensive about sin. And notice Luther says, and this no one can forgive, for it refuses either to be counted as sin or to accept forgiveness. So what happens when we are silent about our sin? Is it still there? What Luther is trying to do is trying to make us anxious. Trying to make us anxious in our hearts for those things that are consuming us, for those things that we don't want to speak about, those family secrets, those things that we are keeping inside that is making us unhealthy, that is tearing us apart. And Luther is trying to remind us we need to go to our Savior and ask for forgiveness, and our Savior forgives. And if it's truly gnawing at us, then we should also go back to our pastor. And what are the first words out of our pastor's mouth after we confess our sin? You are forgiven. What other words would there be? Picking up the words of our Savior, what other answer would there be? Unfortunately, we live in a world where our imagination comes up with other answers. But we go back to our text. Father, forgive them. Through Christ, you have forgiveness. So now that we've understand that forgiveness starts with God, and it first comes to you, and you are truly forgiven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do not be hesitant to open up your mouths and say, Lord, I've sinned in this area. If it's bothering you, fess it up. If it's still bothering you, talk to a pastor. Receive that forgiveness through Christ's ambassador here on earth. Be assured of your forgiveness. And if you thought forgiving yourself was hard, you know what the next point is. We are to forgive others, just as Christ has forgiven us. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This corresponds very clearly to that fifth petition. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is God trying to teach us here? Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32, let me just sort of wrap this all up with this Bible passage. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God wants that flow of forgiveness to first of all be embraced by us and then shared by us to those around you. Right now in your life, are you harboring any type of bitterness? Any type of anger toward anybody? Toward anyone? Did someone do you wrong? Do you wake up in the morning, does something just drive you nuts because of some sort of relationship? We need to remember what Christ has done for us. He has forgiven you. You in turn can forgive other people. We have to start with the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we not realize that because of our sin, we put Christ there? And it just takes one sin. In one essence, we were just as guilty as those nailing Christ to the cross because of our one sin. Jesus speaks those words to the people gathering around the cross, and he speaks those words being for us gathering around today, hearing his word. You are forgiven by God. You didn't know what you were doing. Now, forgive others. Once you've experienced this forgiveness, how can you withhold it? At any time we are angered and embittered toward one another, that means we are withholding that forgiveness. This isn't something that comes from God. God died on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole entire world. No one deserves it, not even you, but he gives it to us freely. And he asks us to share that forgiveness freely to those around us. We must forgive because God first forgives us. But how many times do we get to that point in our lives where we want to hang on to someone else's sin? We think it gives us power. We think it satisfies something within us. We just don't want to let go. And then we have to think for a moment as Jesus is on the cross. He did not have that human sinful nature that we have. He was able to say, in pain and in agony, Father, forgive them. He didn't withhold that forgiveness so that you could have eternal life. So we learn today that God, Father, first forgives us. We need to embrace that forgiveness and to forgive those around us. Is that easy for us? The answer is no. So God again comes to us and says, I will give you that strength. I will encourage you with my word. I will strengthen you with my own body and blood that was shed for your forgiveness. I will reaffirm that forgiveness to you and strengthen you in the faith, so that you will forgive those around you. God wants us to get rid of all anger, bitterness, and malice. It doesn't lead us to the cross. It leads us away from the cross. So when we come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we fess up our sins, there is no other word except for you are forgiven. Likewise, when you come before your pastor, there is no other word for fessed up sins except for you are forgiven. What are the words that come out of our mouths when someone comes up to us and says, you know, I screwed up. I made a mistake. Can the words come out of your mouth? You are forgiven? Now let me make matters one step even worse. What happens if the other person doesn't confess if they've done something wrong to me? Does that mean I can hold on to their sin forever and ever and ever? And the answer is no. You kind of knew that answer, I hope, anyhow. We are to forgive. Even if they don't want that forgiveness, you better believe it. The same is true when Jesus dies on the cross. We keep talking about this, and let me give you the technical theological term. It's called universal atonement. Through Christ, everyone throughout the whole world has forgiveness of sins, but not everyone trusts in Christ for that forgiveness. Not everyone is looking to Him and saying, yes, I need to be forgiven. For those people in that category, they are withholding their own judgment in their hands. The freedom for forgiveness of sins comes through Christ. Likewise, if someone commits something against us and they don't ask to be forgiven, our response still should be, you are forgiven. If not, something's going to be happening to us. We hold on to that. There's a lot of energy, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of frustration because of that. And will eat us alive. Even though we may have, quote unquote, not been the one doing the wrong, we may have, quote unquote, been wronged, but because we're not forgiving, then we ourselves are causing our own punishment. Some of the modern research that alludes to in dealing with forgiveness notes that if you forgive others, you usually have a better physical life. And I will just note for the researchers who are typically secular that through Christ you have a better spiritual life. God wants this love and forgiveness to come to us, be embraced by us, and to flow to other people, regardless whether they ask for it or not. It's unconditional. Just like Christ's love and forgiveness for you is unconditional. God forgives you all your sins. Do you receive that forgiveness? Do you trust in that forgiveness? Do you embrace that forgiveness? And do you share that forgiveness? So as we begin with the first words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is a lot of comfort. You are forgiven. And there's a challenge in those words. Forgive one another. The only way that's possible is by first being forgiven. So this day we remember the forgiveness that our Lord speaks to us while He is dying on the cross. We remember the forgiveness as He is in pain and suffering. We remember the forgiveness, the first of His seven important words coming from the cross, for us to hang on to with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. You are forgiven. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.